among the many, many gifts that His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada gave us is the opportunity to begin every day in a beautiful way. Every day, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, well, especially those who live in temple or farm communities associated with ISKCON or live close to temples, they congregate at 4:30 in the morning after bathing, putting on tilak. But the first congregational activity of the day is to come together and chant before the deity of the Lord, chant Sri Guru Vashtakam. Now there are many, many prayers, so many prayers composed by Vaishnavas, because Vaishnavas, they love Krishna, and their hearts naturally overflow with love of Krishna, and Krishna is unlimited, and there are unlimited devotees, and therefore the devotees in their ecstasy compose innumerable prayers in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is within their heart, and they are His heart. Sadhavo hridayo mahyam, sadhu nang hridayam toham. And apart from praising directly Krishna and His avatars, there are various prayers in which they glorify devotees, the land of Vrindavan, the process of devotional service. In this way, the Vaishnava literature is unlimited. Just in the matter of prayers, what to speak of philosophic treatises and commentaries on Shastra. Anyway, out of all the things that Srila Prabhupada could have instituted within his ISKCON for the first congregational chanting of the day, he chose to have this Sri Guru Vashtakam by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is standard to be chanted in the Gauriya Mat. So he took this from his own Guru Maharaj, not in Mangalarti, at least at Jogpit in Mayapur, it's chanted before Mangalarti. But Srila Prabhupada incorporated it in the Mangalarti, and it's such a beautiful praise. We wouldn't expect anything less from Vishwanath Chakravarti, the emperor among the devotees. Beautiful praise of the spiritual master. And we offer our respect to him, first of all, because we have to go through the guru to Krishna. So we all sing this together early in the morning. And in the very first words, it reminds us of our position. We are in the material world. It is not a nice place. Due to our thinking it is a nice place, we have to suffer here birth after birth after birth. We may think, well, it is a nice place. Well, that's what the worm in stool also thinks. He thinks my position is very nice in this stool. It's so nice. Everything in this material world is just like a forest fire, a very fearsome situation. At the present time, prominent in the news, but it's becoming a little less prominent as the days go on, the war between Russia and Ukraine, because people get bored. They want something else, some other kind of news. But the war in between Russia and Ukraine and the frightful and horrible conditions and is extremely fearsome. People are getting killed. What we don't realize is that We may be peacefully sitting watching clips from the Russia-Ukraine war as if it's some kind of entertainment, but we don't realize that we are in the same situation. Our position is not any better than those who are in immediate threat of death, because we're also in immediate threat of death. It's just that it's more intense there. We're in a suffering position. The example is given, it's the blazing fire of material existence. If there's a forest fire, the animals, they try to run and get away from the fire. They're not sure where to go, and the fire can be coming from one side and they run away, and then they find it's coming from the other side, because forest fires are unpredictable like that, and the wind lifts up the flames and takes it to another place, so it starts blazing in another place also. It's a very fearsome situation. The animals in the forest, they don't want it, but it just happens. We don't know how forest fires begin. Some begin by arson, but many just, we don't know. It's the maybe the rubbing of bamboos in the wind against each other, the friction cause. So in the same way, the interaction of living beings, especially human beings, cause so much suffering. But actually, there's suffering in every species of life. Their interactions cause karmic reactions. It's all very complex. And we're all burning in the forest fire of material existence. What is the solution for a forest fire? You can bring big, big fire brigades, but they're insufficient to even check, let alone stop a forest fire. The only hope is that, well, it may just burn itself out because the extent of the forest is limited, although some forests, like in Siberia, they're practically unlimited. I mean, we don't hear about forest fires there. It probably doesn't get hot enough for long enough to, But the other way is if there is some storm, some huge rain, just like the forest fire comes up, we're not exactly sure how. We can't trace the cause. It's very difficult to trace the cause. So it may be very difficult to trace the cause of the rain. Huge rain can extinguish the fire. That example is given in this first verse, that we are all suffering in this fire of material existence, and we can be saved from that by a certain kind of rain. What is that rain? That is the rain of causeless mercy. Exactly why? What made me eligible to get this mercy? We can't, we're not eligible. We're eligible for punishment. But causeless mercy means there's no reason why we should get it. We didn't deserve it, but we get mercy. So what is that mercy? Where does that mercy come from? There's a great ocean of mercy. That ocean of mercy is Krishna. He gives us independence to enjoy and suffer in this material world independently of him. And due to the afflictions that we give to others, we ourselves become afflicted. But Krishna is very kind. He doesn't like to see that. So he sends to this world his devotees who are compared to clouds that rain down the mercy from the ocean of mercy. So Krishna is a huge ocean of mercy. The ocean is somewhere else away from the forest fire. Only by the mercy of the ocean can the forest be extinguished, but it's done through the agency of the cloud who receives mercy from the ocean of mercy. the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to deliver the world is bestowed through the agency of a devotee who showers mercy, Krishna's mercy. Kalyana Gunarnava. The Krishna is the ocean of mercy. He's the ocean of all auspicious qualities. And the guru who represents him is similarly a receptacle of all good qualities, the foremost among which is his mercy in distributing the mercy of Krishna within the world. So that's the first meditation we have, that just by the mercy of the spiritual master who brings the mercy of Krishna, we who are burning in this forest fire of material existence can be delivered. And it's a very apt meditation to begin every day. Every day realize that we are in a very precarious situation. By the mercy of the spiritual master, we are being delivered from that. So Srila Prabhupada gave this prayer for us to chant together every day. The whole atmosphere of Mangalati is so sacred and pure and uplifting and pleasing. And instructional, as we meditate every day on the qualities. We who are in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness particularly meditate on His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada as we recite these prayers. We may also consider our initiating spiritual master who's following in the line of Srila Prabhupada to the extent that we see these qualities within him. Of course, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur composed this particularly with respect to his own guru, who's not nearly as well known as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur himself. Radharaman is his name. Just like Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he composed the prayer Sri Guru Charana Padma, Sri Guru Vandana, that we also sing every day. Particularly with respect to his own guru, Lokanath Goswami. So it's a very personal prayer which they composed, but they shared these prayers with the world, with the Vaishnav world, knowing that the guru principle is one, and that just as Vishwanath is exulting in the mercy of his guru, and Narottam is exulting in the mercy of his guru, so others also, with respect to their guru, because they all represent, or they all embody the same principle of the mercy of Krishna. How do they distribute that mercy? Well, the prime means by which the spiritual masters distribute this mercy in this Kali Yuga is through the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who brought this system of Sankirtan. That's another great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Kali Yuga, people are so very fallen. The blazing fire of material existence blazes harder and stronger in Kali Yuga than in any other ages. That's also an impetus for those who have any slight spiritual intelligence to try to get a solution to this blazing fire. Generally, people don't have any spiritual intelligence, but by hearing the names of Krishna, they can be awakened to the platform of spiritual intelligence. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he danced and chanted in ecstasy the holy names of Krishna chanting, and he induced his followers to do also. And naturally, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu naturally danced, he didn't go to any dancing classes. It wasn't a choreographed dance. So naturally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dances. And naturally, even people who are very fallen, they come directly in contact with the ocean of mercy, directly in contact with Krishna. If they are not so sinful that they will not be attracted to the Sankirtan movement. We find many people, they like to dance and sing with us. And immediately they get Krishna's mercy. They can feel the presence of Krishna. They can experience the presence of Krishna, even if in a very beginning way. So the spiritual master, he's an acharya, which means that he teaches by example. And he doesn't just tell his disciples to chant in kirtan, but he also chants in kirtan. And naturally, because he is directly in contact with the ocean of mercy, he's the conduit through which the mercy comes, then naturally he feels great bliss. And this bliss of Sankirtan is the mercy that awakens the burning living beings, awakens them to their real consciousness and allows them to experience the relief of the ocean of mercy, the rain upon them. Of course, the spiritual master, he teaches, but it's not, we say, sometimes we say spiritual teacher, but it's not like a teacher in a classroom. It's not exactly like that. By his own being Krishna conscious, the spiritual master imparts Krishna consciousness to others. So he shares the bliss of kirtan with them by personally experiencing it. And the symptoms of that are given that he feels delighted in kirtan with singing and dancing and playing musical instruments. He's delighted due to the mellows of pure devotion. And although the devotees generally don't show such symptoms, sometimes it may be seen in the bodies of pure devotees that the hairs of their body are standing on end, their bodies are trembling in ecstasy, there are floods of waves of tears from their eyes. So, Vande Guru Sri Charanarvinda, we offer our respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of the Guru. Yeah, we offer our respectful obeisances to the lotus feet. So that, realizing that we can approach the feet. It's not just you walk up to the Guru and say, "Hi, Haribol Guruji, how are you doing today?" It's considering we're like that example is given in the Nectar of Devotion, the snakes, they crawl on the ground in the forest. So we crawl on the ground toward Krishna. We're not fit to come close. But we can become made fit to become close if we acknowledge that we are very, very low, and therefore we offer prayers at the lotus feet of the Guru. So that's the first and the second verses. Sangsara dava nalaludha loka tranaya karanya ghana ghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunarna vasya vande guru shi charanarvindam mahaprabhu kirtana nritya gita Vaditramadhyan manasurasena romancha kampa shutaranga bhajo vande guru shri charanarvindam. Just the very words, the poetry, the sound, the cadence, it's so, we can use the word beautiful. It's speaks to the soul. Now, the gurus they teach is gurus, vande gurun, isha bhaktams. We offer respects to all the gurus. We have a specific guru in mind. There are so many gurus, and they teach the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is practical also. They give us the practical service to Krishna. Yuktasya bhaktangs, here is described in the third verse, Shivigrahara dhana nityanana shingara tan mandira marjana dau yuktasya bhaktangs chanayanjatopi vande guru shri charanaravindam. Yuktasya bhaktangs, he engages the disciple, Yuktasya, he himself is engaged in service to Krishna, and bhaktangs cha niyunja, he also engages the devotees in service to Krishna, specifically the deity form of Krishna, who is served in various ways. There are so many services to be performed in the service of the deity, beginning with keeping everything very clean, including the temple. Deity worship is actually a very involved process if it's to be done properly. There are many things to do. So by engaging the devotees in the service of the deity, as he himself is engaged in the service of the deity, then the spiritual master, he engages with all the senses. The kirtan is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. So the practical manifestation of that is to engage in deity worship in various ways, which helps us to reestablish our eternal forgotten relationship with Krishna. And of course, in the Sankirtan movement, especially from the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and continued very much by our own Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, there are many activities in service also for preaching and publishing and distributing books. So the point is to keep everyone fully engaged in Krishna's service. Then there will be no room for Maya's service. This is another aspect of the mercy of the guru. This whole prayer, it expands on the first verse, that mercy, the mercy representative, his divine grace, the mercy representative of the Supreme Lord. And then what are the symptoms of that mercy? He engages us in Sankirtan, he engages us in deity worship. Now that's the third verse. Shri Vigrahara Dhana Nityanana Shringara Tan Mandira Marjana Dau Yuktasya Bhaktangs Chanayanjatopi Vandeguru Shri Charanaravindam. The spiritual master is always engaged in the temple worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He also engages his disciples in such worship. They dress the deities in beautiful clothes and ornaments, Shringara, clean their temple, Mandira Marjana, and perform other similar worship of the Lord, Mandira Marjana Adau. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. Then the next verse, Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat Prasada Swadvana Triptan Hari Bhakta Sanghan Kritvaiva Tripting Bhajata Sadaiva Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Please note that's Chaturvidha, not Chaturvidha pronunciation. And generally, our devotees in ISKCON sing Sri Bhagavat Prasado, but technically correct is prasada, Sri Bhagavat prasada here. Translation of this verse, the spiritual master is always offering Krishna four kinds of delicious food, analyzed as that which is licked, chewed, drunk, and sucked. When the spiritual master sees that their devotees are satisfied by eating Bhagavat prasada, he is satisfied. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. We might think, well, this doesn't seem so very spiritual, especially if we consider the following verses about the spiritual master is eager to glorify the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and serve Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan, talking about prasadam. But prasadam, it depends on our attitude. If we take prasad as something for ourselves to enjoy, and it's something to satisfy our senses, then we see it as material. But the spiritual masters also teach to see everything in relation to Krishna, so that we chant in kirtan, that's the second verse, we chant and dance, and it's bliss, but it's not material bliss. We dress the deities, we see the beautiful form of the deities, and it's so pleasing to the mind and the eyes and the heart to see the beautiful form of the deities. And taking Krishna prasad, it's also very pleasing, but we have to see that in relation to Krishna, and then we can understand it's a completely spiritual activity, on the same level as chanting Hare Krishna. It's not a material activity, because we take prasad to help preserve the body so that we can have energy to serve Krishna. That doesn't mean that it's on the mundane platform. It's absolutely spiritual, and the spiritual master, he is very keen to serve Krishna by offering so many nice foodstuffs, and he likes to see his disciples also honor prasadam, and that is very much part of Vaishnav tradition. We know in the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, Tirumangai Alva, I believe it was always daily distributing, calling all the devotees and distributing, feeding them, distributing prasadam to them. And we see in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, described in detail, so many feasts. It's not mundane. Srila Prabhupada also, he sometimes joked, but it wasn't a joke, that so many people, so many devotees in the West came to him because of prasadam. So it's a great attraction. We know if someone comes, at least it used to be like that, if someone comes newly and they start eating lots of prasad, we know this one's gonna be a devotee, because it's prasada, it's mercy. And people who are devotionally inclined can appreciate that more. Everyone appreciates prasadam, unless they're a real, real demon. And even the real, real demons, if you can somehow induce them to take prasad, they'll change. It's a great secret weapon, a prasad. So the spiritual master, he's in the spiritual world, as we will hear in the next two verses, especially. But he's very much here also. How can he bring the mercy of the Supreme Lord to this world if he's just completely in that world? He's very much involved on this platform also. He wants to see that the devotees, they're happy and they're serving and they get prasad and to nourish their bodies. And it just nourishes the body, it nourishes the soul. He's very happy, likes to see Krishna serve very nicely, given nice foodstuffs, and then distribute that to the devotees. He becomes very happy to see, oh, they're satisfied. Then the spiritual master becomes satisfied, and Krishna becomes satisfied. Krishna wants his devotees to be happy, not with sense gratification. Taking prasadam is not sense gratification. Now we move to the contemplation. You see, this contemplation is going on every morning as we sing these verses. Every morning we start at least the first congregational activity. We may chant some rounds before Mangalarti also, but great meditation. At the same time, the arati is going on. That we see the spiritual master living among us, talking, eating, sleeping, walking, sometimes getting sick, it may seem like that. But then, who is this person? What is the difference? He's teaching. Well, I guess anyone can open a book and teach it. But his aspiration is described in the next verse. Shiradhika madhavayor apara madhurya lila gunarupa nam nam patikshanasva danalulupasya vandeguru shri charanaravindam. The spiritual master is always eager to hear and chant about the unlimited conjugal pastimes of Radhika and Madhava and their qualities, names, and forms. The spiritual master aspires to relish these at every moment. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. We have no information about such things, especially we in the Western world had no information, no idea about such things until Srila Prabhupada informed us that there is a spiritual world. And that is beyond the Viraja, beyond the Vaikuntha, beyond Ayodhya, Dwaraka, Mathura. There is Vrindavan, where Radhika and Madhava, their name is joined together. They're two in one. Ekatmana. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Haladini Shaktir Asmat. They're one, but they're manifest, one absolute truth manifested as two. And they're Madhurya Leela, only seen in Vrindavan, at least the Bharaja Bipini. What is that? Bharaja Jubitya Bhavara Bhakati. They're the pastimes of Radha and Madhava with the gopis in Vrindavan, that is Pravesha Chaturish, that is Madhura Brinda Bipina Madhuri, that's it. That's that the sweetness of that, that is unlimited. The names, the qualities, the forms of Radhika and Madhava, as I was saying near the beginning of this talk, the devotees there, their hearts are brimming, overflowing with feelings and experiences and realizations of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they compose so many prayers. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that, I can't even begin to describe even one moment of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even one moment can't be described in millions of books by Ananta Shesh. It's of a different quality. The spiritual world is of a different quality. This material world is limited and mean, lowly, nasty, frustrating, constricting. The spiritual world is just the opposite. There's seeing the whole world in a grain of sand. It's every little thing is just... Every little thing is unlimited. It's beyond our ability to even begin to comprehend. So the unlimited pastimes, qualities, names, forms of Radhika and Madhava, the spiritual masters, they are very eager, greedy to relish this. at every moment. That is their aspiration. Not only aspiration. Now remember that Srila Prabhupada said that this prayer by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur does not apply to all spiritual masters necessarily. This prayer of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is especially addressed to those spiritual masters who are in their identity, and their identity is specifically that of gopis in Vrindavan. So we have in the early morning, we start by meditating on our wretched, extremely suffering position in this mature world, and how the spiritual masters lift us up. And where they lift us up to, it's just so, so high. Nikunja yuno ratikali siddhyai yayali bhir yuktir apikshaniya tadrati dakshyad ati vallabhasya vandegaro shicharanaravinda. Again, and just the poetry of it is so beautiful. Nikunja yuno, the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, in the forest groves of Vrindavan, Nikunja yuno, Rati, the attraction between them, Rati Keli, the love spots of Radha and Krishna, Shirish, Nikunja yuno, Rati Keli Siddhai, that's the Swarasiki Siddhi. Every devotee serves Krishna according to their own particular propensity and inclination. And that is indicated by yaya in whatever way. Whatever way they have to serve, and what arrangements have to be made. Who by the alibihi? This refers to the gopis, the women of Vrindavan, Baraja Jubati. And they yuktir apekshaniya. Whatever is necessary, whatever is desirable, that is the land. Vrindavan is the land where desire is perfectly fulfilled, but it doesn't become boring. It's a land of tremendous desire, but it doesn't become boring. Everything everyone does in Vrindavan is simply that Radha and Krishna will be pleased. And the gopis, they are fully engaged in that with no other thought. Now, the guru here is described, tatra ati daksha, from he's most expert in that. He's assisting the gopis in doing so. And therefore, very dear. Very, very, very expert. And in assisting, and very dear to Krishna and his devotees for that reason. The spiritual master is very dear because he is expert in assisting the gopis, who at different times make different tasteful arrangements for the perfection of Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving affairs within the groves of Vrindavan. I offer my most humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So this takes us, at least we can think how high the gurus want to take us, or how high the potential or the possibilities are. We might not go. We might find as we go on in devotional service that our propensities awaken in a different way. We may be inclined to the worship of Sita and Ram. We may be inclined to the worship of Rukmini Dwarkadish. But the possibility is there. That is opened to us by the gurus in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He is giving us this. We received it from Srila Prabhupada, who is giving us this. And the spiritual masters, they're meant to nourish their disciples up to this level. There's a lot of work to do at the ground level, both cleaning our own hearts and propagating the Krishna conscious movement to help clean the hearts of others. But this is our aim. Look high. Be ambitious. Don't be materially ambitious, but spiritually we can be ambitious, while at the same time being cognizant of our present situation and our present need, our present level. The seventh, you can see how there's a flow of the verses. It's not just, there are eight different meditations, but we can find there's a flow within them. It's not just arbitrarily picked up here and there. The seventh verse, Sakshad Haridvena Samasta Shastrayar Uktas Tata Bhavyata Eva Sadbihi Kintu Prabha Yaf Priya Eva Tasya Vandega Roshi Charnarvinda. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari, Krishna. Important instructions here that we are to remember every day. Again, we see the spiritual master as an ordinary person, but we shouldn't see through the eyes of our own judgment, but we should see through the eye of Shastra, which the spiritual master gives. Agyanitimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. The spiritual master gives the eye by which we can see Krishna and the world and everything else in proper perspective, including how we should see the Guru. We see through the eye of Shastra. From Shastra we learn. All the Shastras, there are some particular verses that come to mind. Krishna himself teaches, Acharyang Mang Vijaniyat. The Acharya should be known to be myself. So the Guru is to be known as Krishna in a particular way, as the representative of Krishna, the viceroy of Krishna. And as Vishnu Acharya Thakur says, this is after all a prayer, so it may seem, it might seem like it's an outrageous claim, and you want to establish a point, you have to quote from Shastra. But he just says, well, it's in all the Shastras. All the Shastras lead to that. And actually, that's a fact. In all these Shastras, whatever they're teaching, and at whatever level they're teaching, the Guru is to be seen on the level of God. Such high respect is given. That is Vedic culture, to those who teach, because it may be even some mundane art. Of course, no art is mundane if engaged in the service of Krishna. But it's understood that this knowledge is coming. Whatever knowledge we get, ultimately it's coming from the Supreme Lord. Ultimately, to put that knowledge into practice, we have to take blessings from the Supreme Lord. And of course, there are demigod worshippers also who see that the power is coming from a certain demigod. Of course, they should, if they are to properly understand, they should understand that that's coming from Krishna. Even the power to kill and to be a thug, to kill and steal, the Tuggies, one caste in India who used to kill and rob people. They used to worship Kali Mata, thinking that they'd get trained in that, how to do it, but they worshipped Kali Mata to get her blessings to do it, thinking that without her blessings, we may know so many things and we may be so expert in many things, but it's up to her to bless us, and then we can be successful in our endeavors. So even for the most vile people with the most vile occupation, the Vedic culture teaches that we have to recognize a higher power. Whoever teaches us is representing the whole chain of our acharyas all the way up to Krishna. And that mercy is coming down from Krishna. So the spiritual master is giving the mercy, raining down the mercy from the ocean of mercy. And in that way is none different from Krishna. And in some sense, from our perspective, is more merciful than Krishna. Just like the water of the rain, it comes from the ocean. And the ocean is far greater than the water in the cloud. But for us, we need the water in the cloud. We get the water via the cloud. So in the same way, Krishna is so great, far bigger than the guru. But for us, we get the knowledge through the guru. We get the mercy through the guru. So for us, in that sense, the guru is even more important than the Supreme Lord himself. But the same and different. Acharya Chaitya Vapusha. The Supreme Lord is within the heart guiding us and comes before us in our manifest vision as the Acharya. We may be misled if we consult our heart. Follow your heart. Oh, be careful, because in our heart there are so many wrong ideas. But the Acharya comes and teaches us to clear all those wrong ideas out of the heart and understand everything properly. So we may take wrong ideas from our heart by consulting our heart, but when we're clearly, unambiguously told what is the desire of Krishna by the representative of Krishna, then if we're sincere, we follow. And that was a great gift of Srila Prabhupada. He made this Vedic knowledge so clear and simple and easy to understand that even a child can take part in it, or even a dog can take part. He was specifically referring to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Therefore, we worship the spiritual master on the level of the Supreme Lord, knowing him to be very dear to the Lord. Why dear? Because nachatasman manusheshu kasya me priyakritama. Because he teaches this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to the devotees and to potential devotees also. And in this way, becomes very dear to Krishna. And then the last verse, just 8 verses, but so much is there. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasadam nagati katopi dhyang stuvangs tasya yashastri sandhyam vandigaro shri charanaravinda. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, I should always remember and praise the spiritual master at least 3 times a day. I should offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master. So this brings us full circle. In the first verse, we meditate on how we are burning in this material world, receiving mercy from the rain cloud of the spiritual master, and then the manifestations of the mercy of the spiritual master. Now, engages us in kirtan, in deity worship, gives us prasad, he directs us to the highest land of Vrindavan, in this way understood to be a representative of the Supreme Lord. But one and different, And by that mercy, the whole prayer is describing his mercy. And then by that mercy, we can get the mercy of Krishna. If the spiritual master is pleased, Krishna is pleased. If we displease the spiritual master, we displease Krishna. And then nagati katopi, then we're nowhere. We're not going anywhere. We may be very intelligent, we may have our own schemes, we may be great pundits. We're not going anywhere. Krishna won't be pleased. Krishna's made the system. You become the servant of the servant. So we're advised that although we should always remember Krishna, smartavya satatang Vishnu, vismartavya najatu chit. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. We should always remember the Guru because we're always acting on his order. But particularly, we should do so three times a day. We do that when we chant Gayatri mantras, particularly. We formally remember the Guru who's given us so much gifts. Now there's a ninth verse, well it's not really, it's an ashtakam, so it's eight verses. But with that comes another verse, which is not exactly part of the ashtakam, the eight verses, but it's the Phalashruti, which is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur himself, in which he says, Srimad Gurur Ashtakam Etad Uchair Brahme Mahurte Patati Prayatnat Yastena Vrindavana Nata Sakshat Sevaiva Labhya Janashonta Eva. He says that anyone who in the Brahma Mahurta, the early hours before sunrise, carefully and loudly recites these eight prayers in honor of the Guru, such a person, upon leaving this body, receives the opportunity of direct service to Vrindavannath. He doesn't say Krishna, but to Vrindavannath, to Krishna in Vrindavan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has the power to make or to give such a boon. That should be remembered. It shouldn't be taken lightly that we have this opportunity daily, rise early, go to Mangalarti, chant these prayers. It's such a great meditation, beautiful meditation, meaningful meditation to start the day, and it opens up the happiness of every day begins with the happiness of remembering that we who are burning in the forest fire of material existence are now being lifted up. I'm a worm in stool, but I'm now by the mercy of my spiritual master, I'm being lifted up. I have the opportunity. Whatever nonsense, rascal things I may have done, said, thought, every day is a new chance. Every day is a new start. We have to go forward. So it's Srila Prabhupada's great mercy that he gave us this meditation upon himself that we can begin every day and just be grateful for the mercy that we are privy to. We have to take advantage of it by rising early and attending Mangalarti. So yeah, it's a beautiful way to start the day. Every day. Dance, chant, sing, remember the great mercy that's being bestowed upon us and the great opportunity that we have. So I offer my respectful obeisances to all the devotees. especially those who like to rise early in relation to this. Yeah, devotee means we should not snoring until 9 o'clock in the morning. Jeev jago, jeev jago, gaura chanda bale, utishta jagrata, prapya varang nibodhata. We should get up, wake up, go to Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha. Patita nam pavane bhyo, vaishnave bhyo, namo namaha. Dante nidhaya chunakam padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushatame tadaham bravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat. Gauranga chandra charne kurutanu raga. Parivada tu jano yata tatava nanu mokaro navayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvivilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.